Morning, everybody. Welcome to Mosaic House Church Online. I am Pastor Jeremiah, or Pastor Jay, and I'm so honored that I have been invited into your home. We really, really appreciate it. Is there something in your life you want changed? How are those New Year's resolutions coming along? And as you think about the thing you want changed in your life, do you feel discouraged that it's not coming along as good and as fast as you want it to be? Does all your hard work seem not to be paying off? Or are you disappointed in yourself for not doing enough? Well, we're actually doing a series right now called Power to Change. And what's pretty cool is we're doing something we call alignment, where we have a message on Sundays, and then we have daily devotions. And also we meet in house churches and we watch a video about what we are exploring in the whole week. And in this video, there is a story of a lady named Afritina. And in this story, she desperately wants to change her relationship with God, to become a more full, a more empowered follower of Jesus. And all the people in her life are encouraging her, telling her, improve your relationship with God. But the harder she tries, the more she feels depressed, the more she feels disappointed. She was stuck. She didn't fit into her idea of what a Christian should be. Have you ever felt that way? I did myself. When I was in junior high, I desperately wanted to be a true follower of Jesus, to love God with all my heart, but I also want to be accepted by my friends. And even though I went to church on Sundays, did all the church thing look like a good Christian kid, I partied on weekends. And I tried so hard to change, Lord, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to follow you alone. But the harder I tried, the more I failed, the more I felt disappointed and stuck. And what happened for me was I ended up putting this mask on, where on Sundays I look good, look at the Christian part. All the while behind the mask, I was just struggling with my faith. I couldn't let go of doing things which did not please God. So how about you? Do you feel stuck or disappointed? Well, in this series, Power to Change, it is not a self-help. It is not a checklist on here's what you ought to do to change. Rather, it is learning and exploring how we can daily surrender to God, the unchangeable one, the God who loves us, who gave himself for us, the God who is in us, shaping us and changing us. Change is possible because the gospel changes everything. And today we're going to look at that question, is change possible? Especially when you're feeling stuck and disappointed. We're going to look at God revealed in Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit, the God in whom all things are possible. And we're going to do that through a chapter in the book of Romans. Before I get into this chapter 8, let me give you a background. The writer is a guy named Paul, and he is writing to the church in Rome, and he is writing to bring about change. In this book of Rome, Paul is writing to both the Jews and the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. And it's interesting because he seems to flip-flop between his audience. In one chapter, he writes to the Jews. Another chapter, he writes to the Gentiles. Now, in Rome, at one time, and during the time of Paul, the Jews were kind of looked down upon. At one time, if not all, the Jews were kicked out of Rome because all the riots they were causing as Jewish peoples were converting to Christianity, as they were seeing Jesus as the true Messiah. And Paul is writing to the book of, to the church in Rome about 10 years after all the Jews were allowed to come back. And still the Roman people look down upon the church, or down upon the Jewish peoples. It is hard to change anti-Semitism and discrimination, even in the church. Also, the Jews were known for wanting, even forcing people, if they became a follower of Jesus, to follow also the Jewish customs. It was hard for many of them to accept all these new customs and cultures of the Gentiles. And Paul wrote Rome as well as many letters in the New Testament to change the relation between Jewish and Gentile believers. But it was very hard. They too must have felt stuck and disappointed. With this in mind, we're going to look at Romans chapter 8 to ask the question, is change possible for individuals, for whole communities, and the church? So have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Also, the scripture will be on the screen, or you can go to the resources tab and click on the sermon notes, and the verses will be there too. So let's turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're going to read quite a big chunk. So there's a lot of details here, so don't get stuck in the details. Just kind of take a step back and see and ask, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to know? Guide me as I hear your word. So Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 1, hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if the Spirit you put to death, but by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may share in His glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for what You've done on the cross. You paid it all. And now, all we need to do is just trust in You. You've already fulfilled the requirements needed for us to regain our relationship with God, relationship with you, Jesus. Thank you. And Lord, here this chapter talks about freedom of life and peace, but sometimes we don't feel that. Sometimes some of us are disappointed and stuck. Lord, give us insight into your word today to let us know what you are doing in our lives to help us to trust in you more and more. And Lord, may you use these small words for your great glory today. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus, our Christ. Amen. Now, this is what I believe God wants us to know today. You can write this down in your sermon notes. The theme and goal, change comes not from being better. It comes from being in Jesus. Now, in the new year, we started this series called New Beginnings, and it's on the person of the Trinity, God, the Holy Spirit. And this new series, Power to Change, is built on the other series. And when we learn this, I encourage you to go back and watch it if you haven't yet. And in that series, we learned a few things. Let's do a little bit of a review. You can write this in your notes. You are not trying to improve yourself into a better person. Rather, the Holy Spirit is creating a new person in you. The Holy Spirit does not create a better version of yourself. He creates a totally new creature. It's as if the Holy Spirit doesn't create a butterfly out of a caterpillar. Rather, he transforms a caterpillar into a lion. And that's the difference between who we were and now who we are in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is one with God, is God. He lives in us and is our advocate. We also learn this, you can write this on your notes. As the Holy Spirit works in you, work out your salvation. Now, we don't work for salvation. We can't earn it. It's a gift from God through Jesus. Rather, we work out our salvation as we partner with the Holy Spirit. And all this is a process called sanctification, becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. And these are all good words and truth. And in addition to this, I want to add one more element needed for true change. And that's the fact that we followers of Jesus are in Christ. Change comes not from being better, but being in Jesus. We are united to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And throughout his writings, Paul emphasizes our unity with Jesus. We are one with him. And Paul describes our unity with Christ with two phrases. One, we are in Christ. And two, Christ is in us. Isn't that a little bit confusing? How can we be in something, but also that thing being in us? Look at me with an analogy that I love. You know, I love food. And imagine going to one of your favorite restaurants. Unfortunately, two of my favorite restaurants closed down during the pandemic. So let me just imagine for you one of my favorite restaurants. Doesn't exist anymore, Kafana, the only Croatian restaurant in my city. Imagine going to that favorite restaurant. You love the decor, the atmosphere. In my restaurant, there's a bar in the front and the restaurant's in the back. Sit down in the seat, you can smell the food. It's warm, it's safe. You are in the restaurant. And then maybe you're with some friends and you're ordering some food and finally the food comes and ooh, the shavape looks good today. And you take a bite, you feel the taste, you feel the strength, you feel joy. In a sense, the food, the restaurant is in you. You are in the restaurant, but also the restaurant is in you. And in the same way, it's kind of paradoxical, we are in Christ. In Him we move and live and have our being. He's our protection, our strength. He is surround us like a shield. But also, through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is in us, empowering us, giving us life and peace and joy, strength from the inside out. And you can write this in your notes. Change is possible because we are in Christ and because Christ is in us. Now we're going to explore this concept more and more through this passage in Romans 8. Again, the main idea is change comes not from being better, but being in Jesus. Now, Pastor Victor said last week at the end of the sermon series, New Beginnings, this, you can write this in your notes, a summation of the whole Bible in three words are justification, what Christ has done for us, His life, death, and resurrection, made us right with God. Two, sanctification, what Christ is doing now in us, making us more like Him. And three, glorification, what Christ will do when He comes back to set all things right. And what's beautiful is that in Romans 8, we see all these three movements at play. In Romans 1 to 4, chapter 8, 1 to 4, it's all about justification, what Christ has done. The most of the other passage, chapter, verses 5 to 16, is about sanctification, what Jesus is doing in us through the Holy Spirit. And in verse 17, the last verse of this section, we hear about what Christ will do, His glorification. Let me read that, chapter 17. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance that is coming, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may share in His glory. Now, we first see the term in Christ in verse 1, and it is in terms of justification. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, let's look at the first word. Therefore means we need to look at what is going on before this passage. Something happened, something is true, therefore we understand chapter 8. And in this context, therefore basically refers to all of Paul's arguments going on from chapter 1 to chapter 7. And we don't have time to go through all of that, but I just want to bring up one specific thing so that we better understand what it means to be in Christ, in Jesus. We're going to look at Romans 5. And can you write this on your notes? In Romans 5, Paul is contrasting being in Adam versus being in Christ. And that's basically the same idea that Paul is doing in Romans chapter 8 when he is contrasting walking in the flesh, or what Paul calls the realm of the flesh, versus walking in the Spirit, or the realm of the Spirit. So let's just unpack that a little bit first. If you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man. Let's just pause there right now. The one man is Adam, the first human. And if you know the story of Genesis, the first human sinned and rebelled against God. And as a result, this curse invaded all creation. Romans 5 describes it as this cloud and shadow over all creation. And as a result, we are in Adam's curse because we are part of Adam's family. A friend of mine gave me this book by Watchman Nee called The Normal Christian Life, and I really appreciate it. So thank you, Tom from Montreal. Appreciate it. And in this book, Watchman Nee describes what it means to be in Adam. And he says like this, none of us choose our last name. We were all born with it. It was given to us. And for better or for worse, I am in the Bashurich family. That's my last name. And this is not because of anything I've done. It's just the reality. And in the same way, we are all part of the family of Adam because we are a human. He was the first human, and all generations before him are all in Adam. And Adam and humanity can be described in one word, sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in a sense, all humans have this middle name, this identity in them. I am Jeremiah, sinner, Bashrich. Just because we are human, we are part of his family, and therefore we are all in Adam. And as a result, we were hopeless. Death reigned, as Romans chapter 17 says, for by the trespass of one man, that's Adam, death reigned through the one man. But let's hear the good news. The verse goes on to say, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Jesus came to break the curse of sin and death caused by Adam. And the image is Jesus' grace superabounds, fully overcomes the reign of death. He did what Adam and any human couldn't. Though he was, and this is Romans chapter 8, verse 3, though he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, though he was fully human, he never sinned. And God, our Father, presented him as a sin offering to pay for the forgiveness of sins and to break the curse of sin and death. And the picture in Romans 5 is this of sin and death as a shadow reigning over the earth, this dark shadow. But through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, grace supremely reigns, like a volcano exploding and dissipating that shadow. This volcano of light. And this is justification. We cannot earn it. We can't work for it. It is a gift of grace. And because of all this, we hear the good news in chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation. There's no judgment of our sin for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can write this on your notes. We are no longer in Adam, but in the better and second Adam, the true human, Jesus our Lord. Now, the rest of the verses 1 to 4 help us understand the rest of the chapter and help us understand better what sanctification means and looks like. Now, you can write this down in your notes again. Even though Jesus defeated sin and death, its shadow still lurks and infects two things, the law and our bodies. Now, both these things, the law and our bodies, are good. They're created by God. However, sin and death perverts them. They twist these good things so that these good things destroy ourselves and all of creation. Have you noticed whenever there is this good law, there is something in us which just wants to break that law? Think of a child and saying, you know, I just baked these cookies. Don't touch them yet, okay? What is a child going to do? They want to touch the cookies. For me personally, it was always touching hot things. I don't know why. When I was a kid, my mom would say, don't touch the wood stove. Guess what I did? I touched the wood stove. Mom would say, don't touch the electric stove. Guess what I did? Okay, I touched the electric stove. Mom would say, don't touch the hot iron. And guess what I did? I burned my finger again. There's something in us that wants to go against that good law. And in verse 3, we read what that is. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. The law was meant to make us like God, but we couldn't get there. The good law became death to us because of what something the Bible calls in this chapter is our flesh. Now, in this context, the word does not mean the totality of our physical bodies. Again, our bodies are good. They're a gift from God. God wants to redeem our body. And we see that in the fact that Jesus was fully human. He took on a human body, yet he was without sin. Also, the word for a physical body is different than this word for flesh in the Greek. Verse 11 uses the word for physical body and says here, and if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Jesus wants to redeem our bodies. And we come in glorification, we're not going to just be a spirit, but we're going to have a resurrected body. Flesh doesn't mean our whole body, but the part of our body which is weak and taken advantage by sin. It is the place in ourselves which has been dominated by sin and where sin inhabits. A term is used as the sinful nature, the part of ourselves. And these two things, the corruption of the law and bodies, gives way for us to understand what Paul calls the law of sin and death. Now, Watchman Nee states that laws are things that never change, are always true, such as the law of gravity. Gravity is not changing anytime soon. What comes up must come down. And in the same way, the law of sin and death never changes, and it still applies. Now, does anybody remember from high school, Newton's third law of motion? Well, it goes like this. For every action or force in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction. You remember that? Well, the law of sin and death is similar to that. You can write this down in your notes. For every action towards change, there is a greater and opposite reaction to stop change. Think of it like this. Pretend that on this side there are two people holding my arm. Sin and death. Every time I take a step towards a change or towards something new, there is an equal and greater, and opposite reaction pulling me back. I can't go ahead. There's always this law of sin and death. Because of the law and because of my flesh, it's always pulling me back. And we hear that same struggle in Paul's own words, just before chapter 8, in chapter 7, he talks about this war in himself. Turn with me, Romans chapter 7, verse 21. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Maybe like you, maybe like me, for Paul, change seems impossible. This law is too strong. But remember, change comes not from being better, but being in Jesus. And right after these hopeless words, Paul says in verse 25, thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus came to bring the law of the Spirit that has set us free from the law of sin and death. However, Jesus doesn't do this by getting rid of this law and sin and death, by erasing it. How does one overcome the law of gravity? How do planes and birds fly? Well, they don't get rid of gravity. They don't have an anti-gravity suit. Yet anyway, rather, they follow another set of laws, a greater law. What we know as, and I'm not that into this stuff, but I'll trust the scientists who said this, but the law of aerodynamics. Now these laws, this law does not nullify the law of gravity, it's still operating, but this new law is greater and overrides the other law. And the same way the law of the Spirit overrides and subverts the law of sin and death. And the law of the Spirit is based on being in Christ. Now, let me just explain this again. Imagine, get the two people on this side, the law of sin and death, but being in Christ is like this. Imagine Jesus is behind me, holding me tight. I am in Jesus, in his warm embrace. And over here, we've got the Holy Spirit leading me, another person holding my hand, and holding his hand is the Father God. And if you look at it, oh yeah, this side is much stronger than this side. But the law of the Spirit goes like this. You can write this on your notes. The law of the Spirit, every action towards change can't come from you. Now look at this analogy. Remember these two over this side, one, two, three on this side. This side's stronger, but if my action towards change comes from me and my strength, okay, Holy Spirit, let's go! We can do it! Oh! The law of sin and death will pull me back again. Oh no. Also, if I lead, that is, okay, Holy Spirit, let's go this way. Come on! Guess what? The law of sin and death will pull you back again. And also, if I resist the Holy Spirit or don't like what he's doing, Holy Spirit is leading this way. You know what, Holy Spirit, I don't like that way. Let's go this way. Come on! Guess what? The law of sin and death is going to pull me back again. Every time the act of change comes from me, my own strength, my own decisions, the law of sin and death will overtake. The law of sin and death makes us like the slave. But the Spirit, the law of this makes us a child of God. And as a child of God, we must learn to not lead, but be led by the Holy Spirit. Let me read this in chapter 8, verse 14. For those who are led by the Spirit are children of God. And the point of the Christian walk isn't trying to be better, trying towards change, but being led by the Spirit to the change he is taking you to. Sometimes the Spirit will yank you. He'll just pull you hard and there's no way sin and death are going to overtake you. But sometimes, and often in my life, it's a gentle tug and I'm waiting, Lord, where are you going, Holy Spirit? Okay, I think I'm feeling you this way. Okay, let's go. Okay, I think you're going this way now. Okay. It's a constant listening to him, trusting in him. Watchman Nee says that living by the Spirit is not a work, but a walk. It's almost like a dance, this constant listening and trusting, this constant love relationship with God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He writes this in his book, living in the Spirit means that I trust the Holy Spirit to do in me what I cannot do myself. Each time I am faced with a new demand from the Lord, I look to him to do in me what he requires of me. It's not the case of trying, but of trusting. Not of struggling, but of resting in him. Later on in his book, Nee says that the difference between trying and trusting is the difference between heaven and hell. Even though they are subtle, they are polar opposites. And the Christian walk is all about learning to stop trying and to start trusting. And that is what the rest of this series will be about. Instead of trying harder to change, we learn to trust by spending time with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, by confessing our sins to him, and by being part of his community. Change comes not from being better, but being in Jesus. Now, let me just end with some more good news. Remember I said, not only are we in Christ, but Christ is in us. We have not just been given a new identity. We have been given, as Watchman Nee says, a substitute identity. Our identity is Jesus. We are united with him. And in a sense, that is now who we are. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians chapter 2. This is Paul again writing. He says, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Now this is a, wow, write this on your notes. It is not trying to be like Jesus. Sanctification is not trying to be like Jesus. Jesus is already in, living in and through us. We are already like Christ because Christ himself is living in and through us. This is a great mystery, isn't it? In the Trinity, in God, there's one God, but three persons, right? They're distinct, yet they are one. Also, I am still me. I'm still Jeremiah. I am not God. Thank the Lord for that. But we are one with God. God himself is in us. Think about that. Watchman Nee goes on to say this. The common conception of sanctification is that every item of the life should be holy. But that is not holiness. It is the fruit of holiness. Holiness is Christ. It is the Lord Jesus being made over to us to be that. So you can put anything there. Love, humility, power, self-control. Today, there is a call for patience. He is our patience. Tomorrow, there may be a call for purity. He, Jesus, is our purity. He is the answer to every need. Jesus is already the change you want to see in the world, and he is living in you, living in us. And whatever change you want to see in your life, more self-control, more power, more love, guess what? Jesus is already all those things, and he is inside you. Again, it's not about trying to become like him. It's trusting in the one already in you. Change comes not from being in Jesus, or not come from being better, sorry, but being in Jesus and Jesus being in us. Remember the story I told you about Afratina? I mentioned earlier that we are learning more about this stuff in our daily devotions and our house church. And because I'm going to watch the video in our house church, I'm not going to tell you the end of the story. You're going to have to go and watch it. And sorry if you're not part of the house church. But let me tell you my story. The more I tried to be better, the more this law of sin and death was operating, I couldn't change. And thankfully, I was still in Christ. Christ never let go of me. And one day, as I was drunk at a party, the Holy Spirit yanked me so hard, I could feel it. I could hear, I didn't hear a voice, but I heard him kind of saying, what are you doing, Jeremiah? The more you go down this road, the more it leads to death. Stop trusting in yourself. Let me lead. And it wasn't an act of, I'm going to do better. It was an act of surrender. Lord, I give up trying. All I could do is trust in you. And when I did that, and it's hard to explain, it's hard to really understand the difference between trying and trusting, but when I just trusted, when I let him lead, I was able to leave my friends. I was able to see changes in my life. I was able to give up drinking and all that stuff. And I was baptized that same year. I was new. Change was happening at a rapid pace. And let me tell you the good news. The Holy Spirit is leading us. Jesus is forgiving us when we fail to trust in him, and he is living in and through us. Change is possible because Jesus is in us. And even when we don't see it, the Holy Spirit is making us to become more and more like Jesus. Change comes not from being better. It comes from being in Jesus and Jesus in us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are all around us. You are our shield and our guide. And being in Adam and the sin, being in sin and death has no power over us anymore. Your light overcomes the darkness. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you that we have a relationship now with God, our Father, through you. As his children, we can call it Abba, Father. And we'll thank you that you're also in us. And when we feel disappointed, when we feel discouraged, when we feel like so stuck, help us remember that you are already that which we hope for. That you, through your Holy Spirit, are guiding us in your time, in your way. Thank you that you are making us more like you. Help us find assurance in that. Forgive us when we are not trusting in you, but are trying in our own strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are enough. And you are with us. Pray this, Lord, in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.